here from Rav Shechter. It's most appropriate that he comes for the Yahrzeit Shiur because he was the Rav Zvi's Talmud, and it's an honor to hear from him.
Today was the second day of Pesach. I was learning Gemara Menachos Perek Rabbi Shmuel about Hakrovas Minchas HaOmer. So the Mishnah records that during the period of the second Beis Hamikdash, there was an ongoing debate between the Tzdukim and the Chachamim how to understand the pasuk in Machos HaShabbos. The Tzdukim translated the pasuk literally that Sfiras HaOmer always begins on a Sunday and every week ends with a Shabbos, and Shavuos is always on a Sunday. And they said, when they had the debate with Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, what motivates them to say it? So they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, Oyev Yisrael Hoyo, he knew that Shavuos is only a one-day holiday, so he made it an extended weekend. He take off for Shabbos and take off for Sunday, 2 days in a row. Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai represented the Masor of the Torah Shabbat Ped, and the Machos HaShabbos means he start counting Sphere the first day Chamoy, that was today. And if need be, If the first day Pesach turns out to be on a Friday, and the first day Chalamoid is on Shabbos, so Tzivos Omer is Derech Shabbos. And Tzdukim, according to the Tzdukim, this would never happen. It would always be on Tzivos Omer was always on a Mesoy Shabbos. And the Mishnah records that the Zman HaBais, when they had this ongoing debate with the Tzdukim, so when they would prepare to harvest the Tzvuah, to do the Tzivos Omer, so they would have, if it would not be on a Mitzvah Shabbos, it would be any other day of the week, so they would say, they would ask the fellow everything three times. Are you sure you're ready? Are you sure you should cut it today? And if it would be on a Shabbos, they would say, are you sure you're going to cut it even though it's on Shabbos? You're going to be Michal Shabbos? Are you sure you're going to use this sickle? Are you sure you're going to put it into this basket and take it to the Beis HaMikdash and so on? Why? So the Mishnah says, because the Beis Susim, because the Tzdukim didn't believe in the Torah Shabbat Peh. So in order to emphasize that we do accept the Torah Shabbat Peh, we're following the tradition of the Torah Shabbat Peh, that's why they would say everything three times. That's why it says in Yerideya, in Hilchas HaTorah Sandorim, that HaTorah Sandorim is also only Torah Shabbat Peh. There's no Pasuk at all in Chumash, and apparently those who didn't accept the Torah Shabbat Peh never accepted the idea of HaTorah Sandorim. So the Mechaber writes, he quotes from the earlier Rishonim, When the Bezin does HaTorah Sandorim, they should say three times, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. Many people have the meaning on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Then it says in the text, HaKol Mechulam Lecha, HaKol Shem Lecha, HaKol Matorim Lecha, Ain't HaLo Nero Lashua. So then they say that three times. You say three times, you already said it nine times. Because in that sentence itself, it already has three times. HaKol Mechulam Lecha, HaKol Shem Lecha, HaKol Matorim Lecha. So you already said it three times. So some print in there HaTorah Sandorim. You should only say it once. You already said it three times. If you say that sentence, you already said it once. During the lifetime of the Chassam Sofer, there was Mohammed. The Chassam Sofer was fighting against reform. And during the lifetime of Rav Soloveitchik, many years, he was fighting in his style. He didn't have the style of the Chassam Sofer to fight with fire and brimstone, a different kind of fighting. He was waging battle against the conservatives. In many of his drushes, he's fighting against the conservatives. You don't even have to read in between the lines. He's explicitly giving presentations against the conservatives. And in a certain sense, you can detect sort of a love song for the Torah Shabbat Peh. He emphasizes a lot his love towards the Torah Shabbat Peh throughout many of his drushes. I remember when we were studying Bava Kamma, so the Gemara has a discussion regarding tzuris. If the behemoth is walking and it causes a damage by putting its feet down, so that's regal. What if the behemoth is walking and it kicks a pebble and the pebble smashes something? So that's called tzuris, and you only pay chatzi nezik. So the Gemara has a question, is it because, and the Gemara seems to say that's our Rashi and testimony, this is halacha Moshe Misina. That's how Rashi told the Rosh. Burns up. Rashi and Tesla, Lachon Moshe Misina. So the Gemara raises the question, how did it come about to become Chatzi Nezik? Is it that Meikar Adin, Koichet Kegufoi, so really the Baal HaBehema should have really been Chayv Nezik Sholem, but the Lachon Moshe Misina comes Lahokel to knock down half of the Nezik, or should I say no? Meikar Adin, Koichet Alav Kegufoi, so the Baal HaBehema should really not be Chayv at all, and the halacha Moshe Sinai of Tzuris is that you're chayv chatzin nezik. It goes from zero to chatzin nezik. So the Rava raises the question. The Gemara says Vosad the Bayhod the Pashta. If the Rava raised the question, he was poshed. The kosher is kigufa and halacha Moshe Sinai is lahakel. So the Rosh points out there's something very strange over here. All over in Shas, when the Gemara has an Amora raises an Ibaya, he asks a question, what's the din AOP? And he thinks about it, and then he brings a Rai from the Mishnah, from a Braisa, from a Pasuk. You have to give a proof. He just says, Rava asked the question, a Basid the Bai, Hora Pashta. He decided that the din is a Kaycha Kigufai, and Allah Moshe Messina is Lahokan, instead of paying the Shalom. How is he poshed it? What's the cheapest? So the Rosh says, you see from this Gemara that every halachal Moshe Sinai is lahakel. You never have a halachal Moshe Sinai lahakel. And he brings as a mashal the Gemara in the first parak in Sukkah. The Gemara says, how many defines do you need in the Sukkah? So it says, how many times the word Sukkah is mentioned? So you add it up and it adds up to so many defines. And then you have the halachal Moshe Sinai is Megareya, the Shlisha Safilu Tefach. It takes off. It points to one time of review, Safilu Tefach. You make on the fourth daifin around the third daifin. So the Rosh poses a question, how do you know that Halacha Moshe Messina is lahakam? Maybe it's lahakmes. You see from that Gemara that Halacha Moshe Messina is always lahakam. Okay. Remember when we were learning that Rosh, the Rav Soloveitchik said over at Rosh from the Balatanya, that's printed in the Likutei Torah, on the Parshios, I think it's on Parshas Bolok, if I'm not mistaken, that you see from this Rosh that there's a fundamental difference between the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaalpeh, that the Torah Shebichtav is given with Midas Adin, that's why you have Chumris, and the Torah Shebaalpeh, the Halacha Moshe Messina is Torah Shebaalpeh is given with Midas HaRachamim, with Midas HaChesed, so all Halachas Moshe Messina are always Lahakim. And it hit me, yes, I remember I was very surprised. I always used to think that Torah Shebaalpeh interprets the Torah Shebichtav, it's all together. So he says from the Balatanya, no, it's not one unit. Torah Shebichtav is one thing, Torah Shebaalpeh is another thing. And many of his rushes, he has this recurrent theme, this love song that he pours out towards the Torah Shebaalpeh. Now, Soloveitchik, on one occasion, said over a long rush from the Beis Halevi, and he added on to it a lot of his own, that we have two Yamim Tovim. When we celebrate Kabbalah Sater, we have Shavuos, we say Zman Matan Teresenu. And Yom Kippurim, the Gemara says in the end of Tainus, is one of the two jolliest days of the year. It was a very happy day. And the Gemara says, why? Because Yom Shinitna Bo Luchashnias. It's a celebration of the Kabbalah Sater. So Rav Shlomo Ladunda raises the question, what do you need two Yom Tevim for Kabbalah Sater, both Shavuos and Yom Kippurim? So Shlomo Ladunda writes in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo, on Shavuos we celebrate Kabbalah Sater Shebichtav, and on Yom Kippurim we celebrate Kabbalah Sater Shebaalpeh. Sounds like it's arbitrary, just because you have 2 days on which you celebrate Kabbalah Sater, and you have a kasha, what do you need 2 days? So he said, well, there are two parts to the Torah. So on one we celebrate Kabbalah Sater Shebichtav, and the other one we celebrate Kabbalah Sater Shebaalpeh. It's just that's arbitrary. So Rav Soloveitchik said over the long drosha from the Beis Halevi, and he added on his own, that the original plan was when the Rabbi Shalom gave the Luchas Rishonis, everything was written on the Luchas. And he quotes, the Beis Halevi quotes many the Drushim and many passages from the Zohar and even a Gemara and Shabbos, that it sounds like everything was written on the Luchas Rishonis. According to the original plan, there wasn't going to be any Torah Shebaalpeh. Whoever had a Shaila would look into the Luchas and everything would appear on the Luchas, Biksav. And then, Moshe Rabbeinu was coming down Har Sinai and he saw they were dancing around the Egel. So there are two Midrashim, so the Beis Halevi puts everything together. So the Ksav was Pareach. The whole Ksav from the Luchas flew away. And the only thing, most of the Ksav flew away, the only thing that was left was the Aseres HaDibrois. And then he smashed it. So the Rabban Shalom tells him, Psalochash and Luchas Arvonim Parishanim, you should make the Luchas Nis v'charsafti l'haluchos. And Sadvarim Asher Hayu al-Haluchos Arishanim Asher Shibartu. This time, I'm only going to write the Aseres HaDibros that was on the Luchas at the time that you smashed it. Because before he, originally when he was on top of Har Sinai, it had Kol HaTorah, it had everything. It had the whole Torah Shebaalpeh. Moshe Rabbeinu was coming down and he saw they were dancing around the Egel Azov, so most of the Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, everything flew away. Zotios Parchas Baba, and the only thing that was left was the Aseres HaDibros. And that's all that was written, that's all that was engraved on the second Luchas. And then at that time they had to have a new institution of Torah Shabbat Peh. Why was that necessary? Why did the plan change after the Chetra Egel? So that's where the Beis HaLevi has a long arichas that according to the first plan that the Luchas had Kol HaTarkula, everything engraved on it, so Ein Uma V'Losh and Shalet is Bon. No other nation in the world will be able to have any shilton over the Jewish people if we would have accepted the Luchas Rishonos. And then there wouldn't be any concern that the Ummah Sa'olam will claim that they're the real Jews. But after the Chet Ha'egel, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the Bnei Yisrael that we will be able to be conquered by another nation, and the other nations will sometimes claim that they're the real Jews. The Catholics for many years claimed, could be that they still claim, I don't know what they say, but for many years they claimed that because the Jews rejected Osa Huish, so they lost their status as the Amma Nifcha, and they're the real Amma Nifcha. They're the real Bnei Avram Yitzchak and Yankov. We lost our status. So what do we have to prove that we are the Yaman Yifcha? They have the Torah, they have everything. So the Medrash says, on the Pasuk Tosfos in Gittin calls the Medrash, Echtov lo ruba tarosa halo kamozan echshovim. If Kol HaTarakula would be written, the whole Torah Shabbat Peh would be written also, so the Ummah Sa'olam would have everything. So there's nothing for us to claim that we are the Yaman Yifcha. So the original plan was Ein Uma V'Losh and Shalet is Behem. So this will never happen. No other nation will have any shilton over the Jewish people. So Nishgefelach. So the Luchas will have Kol HaTarakula with the Torah Shabbat Peh. But after the Chet Ha'egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided he's going to punish the Israel will be Tachas Shilton Ha'umais. So he decided he has to give us a Torah Shabbat Peh that makes us unique. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings himself El Al Torah Shabbat Peh. The uniqueness of the Bnei Yisrael is that we have the Torah Shabbat Peh and the Ummah Sa'olam don't have it. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. That's what the Beis HaLevi explained. That's why after the Luchas Rishonos were smashed and the Luchas Shniyos were brought down on Yom Kippurim, so Yom Kippur was the Kabbalah of the Torah Shabbat Peh. According to the first version, according to the first Mahadura, there wasn't going to be any Torah Shabbat Peh. Everything was going to be Torah Shabbat Peh. And after the Chet Ha'egel, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down the second time, the Luchas Shniyos only had the Aseres Hadibos written, and it didn't have the rest of the Tanakh, didn't have the rest of the Chumash, didn't have the rest of Tanakh, and it certainly didn't have the Torah Shabbat Peh. But at that time it was in Schadis that there's going to be a Torah Shabbat Peh, something separate, that the Ummah Sa'olam shouldn't be able to claim that they are the Yam HaNifcha. So Rav Soloveitchik added on to this, that perhaps that's the reason why when you look in Parshas Achri Mois, the Gemara points out in Yuma that some of the Psukim are out of order. When it gives the Avodah Yom Kippur, and some of the Psukim are out of order. So Rabbeinu Shlom, why is it out of order? Why did Rabbeinu Shlom put everything in order? So he suggested maybe, the Gemara doesn't, well, just says, Kol HaParshut Kula Nemar LaSeder Chutz Min HaMikra Hazeh, there's one Pasuk out of order. Now, so they should suggest that maybe because Yom Kippur is the day on which we celebrate Kabbalah Satorah Shabbat Peh, so maybe that's why the Chumash is written B'davka in such a vague fashion that if you don't know the Torah Shabbat Peh, you're going to do the Kabbalah in an improper fashion. So remember, Rav Soloveitchik on one occasion gave a Yortzeit Rosha about the difference between Torah Shabbat Ksav and Torah Shabbat Peh. So he started off with the assumption that the Gemara Megillah has that we have different types of religious articles that we use to fulfill mitzvah. We have a talis and tefillin and a mezuzah and a lulav and a matzah and a maror. Chareses, whatever, they have all kinds of things that we use. So some of them are referred to in the Gemara as Tashmish and Mitzvah. Some of them are referred to as Tashmish and Kiddusha. What's the difference? Halacha l'maaseh. The Gemara says if you have an old talus, or you have an old sukkah that you don't want to use it again, so strictly speaking, it's nizrokin. You can throw it out in the garbage. In Tashmish and Kiddusha, on the Gnosim, if you have an old pair of tefillin, you have old ritzuas, you have old tefillin zekel or something, so even though you can't use it anymore, you have to put it in the shemus. You have to treat it with respect, even after it's possible and it can no longer be used. So how do you determine, how did the Tanaim determine what's considered Tashmish Kedusha, that's Nignozim, that after you can no longer use it, you have to put it in shemus, or what's considered Tashmish Mitzvah, that in Nizrokim, if you want, you can throw it in the garbage. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner assumes in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim that the difference is that the Kedusha stems from those things that have Sukim, that have the great Torah on them. So you have, let's say, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, all has a Pesukim from the Chumash. In fact, the Gemara says that a Tefillin has a higher level of Kedusha than a Mezuzah, so the Rambam explains why, because the Mezuzah only has Shema V'Hayoyim Shemaya, and the Tefillin have those two Parshiyos plus more. So since you have slightly more, you have more Pesukim, that has a greater degree of kedusha. A tefillin shel rosh has more kedusha than the tefillin shel yad, even though it's exactly the same parasha. As Gemara says, because the tefillin shel rosh has a shin on the outside. We have two shins. You have one or two letters more. That's why it has more kedusha. So if the Torah, we understand, has more kedusha than tefillin shel rosh, because it has more psukim, more divrei Torah than the tefillin shel rosh. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there's a Rambam in the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah, but the Rambam sounds like he says pretty clearly that if we would find the original Aseres HaDibros, and we have a Sefer Torah that was just written this year, so to say that the original Aseres HaDibros that was author's copy, the Rebbe Shlomo engraved it. The Echtova Halachos is Chadvarim Shehayu Alolachos Harishanim Asher Shibartu. The Rebbe Shlomo engraved it. So the Sefer Torah that we have from Shnas Tav Shinayim will have a higher level of Kedusha than the Aseres HaDibros. Why? Because the Rambam sounds like he says explicitly, because Sefer Torah has the Parsha of Aseres HaDibros plus more. Since it has more Psukim, so it has a higher level of Kedusha. To the extent that you have Divrei Torah written, to that extent you have Kedusha. So the matzah and the maror and the sukkah and the lulav and the shayfar and the talis, these don't have any kedusha. These are called tashmisha mitzvah. The Ramban and the Machamis at the end of Maseches Ma'akotin quotes a machlokes satanoim from the Maseches Mochos regarding talis, whether talis is tashmisha mitzvah, tashmisha kedusha. According to that Ramban, that there's a Tana who thinks that a tzitzis is tashmisha kedusha. You'll have to work with some other definition. But this is a definition that Rav Chaim Volozhiner works with. The Tashmish Kedusha, that status is given to those items that have the Divrei Torah written. So Rav Soloveitchik discussed, we understand that the Torah Tefillah Mezuzah, we understand the Luchos. How do you understand that Beis HaMikdash has Kedusha? So that you could explain, because the essence of the Beis HaMikdash is the fact that you have the Orem with the Luchos there. So that's why the whole Beis HaMikdash has Kedusha. You have to have some Divrei Torah. How are you going to understand the Bayi Sheni? The Bayi Sheni, there was no, the Mishnah says the Bayi Sheni, the Orem with the Luchos were not there. So how can you have a Kedusha Beis HaMikdash? So Rashi pointed out that the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBchira takes a stand on a historical dispute that appears in the Gemara in Yuma, where was the Orem with the Luchos during the period of the Bayi Sheni. So the different opinions in the Tanakh. So it's a historical machlokes. So why does the Rambam take a stand at all? The Rambam writes, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he built it according to the instructions given to him, given to his father David by God HaNovi, by God HaChoyze, and the Ksav, the Megillah's Ksav, that Hakol B'Ksav, the Yara Hashem Alay Hatzkel, had all the whole plan of the Beis HaMikdash, included a vault in the basement where they should put the Orem with the Luchos when the time comes to put it there. So then the Rambam adds on that during the day, the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim that Yoshio HaMelech Lizgain is the Luchos. That's what it says in Divrei Hayamim. And the Rambam adds on that the whole period of the Bayi Sheni, the whole several hundred years of the Bayi Sheni, the Orem with the Luchos was there in the basement. Why did he have to take a stand on this Machlokes? Rav Soloveitchik thought that perhaps the Rambam understood that this is a halacha, not some history. Perhaps the Rambam understood that the Beis HaMikdash couldn't have the status of Kedusha unless you have Luchas there. If you don't have Luchas, so there's no Kedusha. That's exactly the difference between Tashmisha Mitzvah and Tashmisha Kedusha. Tashmisha Kedusha means it has to start off with Psukim from Tanakh. And the same thing at Beis HaKnesses. We say that the Beis HaKnesses has Kedusha. So why does the Beis HaKnesses have Kedusha? So the Ramban thinks, the Ramban writes in a few places, that the Beis HaKnesses is really only Tashmisha Mitzvah. It's a building that enables us to daven better. We daven the Tzibur, we were away from home, and we can pay more attention, we can have more Kavona. So it's really a Tashmisha Mitzvah. It's only Midi Rabbanon that we treat it like Tashmisha Kedusha. And the Rambam doesn't seem to agree with that Rambam. The Rambam writes that the Beis HaKnesses sounds like a Rambam. In his Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzora writes that a Beis HaKnesses has a full Kedusha Min HaTorah. That's what Ashrenim pointed out. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. It would appear from the Rambam that he holds that a Beis HaKnesses has a Kedusha Min HaTorah. So why? But Kedusha has to stem from Divrei Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik had a mashmois from a Rambam that others point out as well, that a Beis HaKnesses only has Kedusha if it has a Sefer Torah in the building. Sometimes you have an office, they designate one room as a shul, and they only daven there Mincha Maariv, but they don't have a Sefer Torah. When they have a kind of Sibur, either they have to lay in by Mincha, either they go somewhere else, or they bring in a Sefer Torah, but they don't leave it there. So from the Rambam in Hilchos Tefila, it would appear that a Beis HaKnesses that doesn't have a Sefer Torah Kavua and an Aron Kodesh all year long doesn't really have a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Just like the Beis HaMikdash only has a Kedusha Kozman, you have the Aron with the Luchas there, so the Beis HaKnesses only has Kedusha if it has a Sefer Torah there. In fact, based on what Rav Soloveitchik was so emphatic about, that Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh are two different things. It's not just Torah Shebalpeh gives you the chat in the Torah Shebichsav. So based on this, he opened up my eyes and I saw there was a thesis in Nozir. But thesis comments are really apropos to nothing there. And the Gemara knows that there's an Agadah in Nozir that has nothing to do with anything. So thesis has a four-line thesis. They say, Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is because there's a Sefer Torah there that has that Torah Shebichsav. And Kedusha's Beis HaMedrash is because the people learn Torah Shebalpeh. That is just interpreting an Agadah there. So I thought maybe this Tesis is giving shedding light on the Gemara in the end of Megillah. The Gemara in the end of Megillah has a Machloikis, Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi, which has a higher level of Kedusha, Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMedrash. We have a Din Malam HaKodesh Velo Maridin. So which way are you permitted to switch and which way is it prohibited to switch? So we paskin la'alocha against Rabbi Yechon. We paskin, you can switch from a Beis HaKnesses to make it into a Beis HaMedrash. And you can't do the reverse. Why? Because we assume a Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha than a Beis HaKnesses. But I didn't understand, why does it have to be a machlokes? Which one has a higher level? Say that they both have a Kedusha. Why does it have to be different? So according to that thesis, I begin to understand what they're talking about. The Kedusha, thesis claim, thesis seems to be assuming like Rav Chaim Volozhiner. That all in Yoni Kedusha have to flow from Divrei Torah, and Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses stems from the fact that there is Torah Shebichsav there, and Kedusha's Beis HaMedrash flows from the fact that you have Torah Shebalpeh learned in the Beis HaMedrash. And the Machlokes Rabbi Yechon and Mishum Aleid and the Megillah, which has a higher level of Kedusha is, which is a higher level of Kedusha, Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebalpeh. So we pass in Halacha that the Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha than the Beis HaKnesses, because Torah Shebalpeh has a higher level of Kedusha than Torah Shebichsav. So remember, in this Yahrzeit Rasha, Rav Soloveitchik was discussing, so he said, okay, he says, all Kedusha stems from the fact that you have Divrei Torah. So you have the Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzah, Luchos, then you have Beis HaMikdosh has an Aron. Then you have Beis HaKnesses has a Sefer Torah. Fine. And then he said, so how do you understand Kedusha as Eretz Yisrael? Where were the Psukim? Where were the Psukim written on the ground in Eretz Yisrael? So he said, Nashir, he said, in the Kaddish of Eretz Yisrael, the first time around, in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun, was Kibush. Kibush v'chiluk. The Chalukah, Eretz Yisrael, was the Gemara of the Kibush. So he said, who did the Kibush? So everybody screamed out. The army of Yishuv Ben Nun said, no, the Aron Abris. It says in Sefer Yishuv, the Aron Abris was Hoylach Lufneim, and it knocked down all the enemies. The army didn't lift a finger. They didn't have to do any work at all. The Aron Abris, so he says, so the Kaddish of Eretz Yisrael was the Torah Shebichsav. But then he said, so this, but the we paskin Kedusha Rishon, it was Batla. After the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, so the Kibush was undone, so the whole Kedusha was undone. So what was the Mekadosh the second time around in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah? There was no Kibush. So what was the Mekadosh the second time? If you should assume, the way he's assuming, that all the Yoni Kedusha have to flow from the fact that you have the Divrei Torah. So the Rav suggested maybe the Torah Shebalpeh was Mekadosh the second time around. He didn't explain what he meant. What do you mean the Torah Shebalpeh? Where was the Torah Shebalpeh? So I assume what he perhaps was alluding to was the fact that the Gemara talks about Kima v'kiblu Kima mashikiblu kvar. On the occasion of Nes Purim there was a second Kabbalah Satorah, and the Medrash Tanchuma on Parashas Noach says that the second Kabbalah Satorah is really on the Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebalpeh they accepted the first time around and at the time of Mamet Hasina. And it was Kafalem Harkigigas and the Torah Shebalpeh that they were balking about, that they didn't want to accept. In the days of Mordechai Esther, Me'av Asaneh, Sahadikid Lubim, Me'ach HaShverish, they accepted the Torah Shebalpeh. And the next Purim is just a few years right before the Binyan Barisheni. So I thought maybe that's what he meant, that the new Kabbalah, the Torah Shebalpeh, was what enabled Bnei Yisrael to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around. And then Rav Soloveitchik added on that we paskin la'alocha that the Kedusha Shniyah was lebatla. The Kedusha that was created over Eretz Yisrael the second time around, Ayde Kabbalah Torah Shebalpeh, was of an everlasting nature. The Kedusha Rishona that was accomplished with the Aron Abris did the Kibush in Eretz Yisrael. That was a Kedusha that came through the Torah Shebichsav, that was only temporary in nature. Mashenikin, the Kedusha Shniyah was that was brought about by the Torah Shebalpeh, That was of a permanent nature. So I seem to remember Rav Soloveitchik said, because the Torah Shabbal Peh is more Kaddush than the Torah Shabbat Sa. There's a higher level of Kedusha, and that's why that Kedusha was of an everlasting nature. I thought perhaps on the last Knech, perhaps one can add on a little differently. The Rav Soloveitchik in one of his other drushes pointed out a very interesting contradiction between two passages in the Gemara. The Gemara in the third parak in Moikot has all the dinim of Abelus in Elam Megathen. The Gemara has all the dinim of Kriya. So the Gemara says, Harei Sefer Torah Shenisraf, if someone is present, when a Jew is Mevaza, Sefer Torah burning a Sefer Torah, so Chayv Dekroy Olam Shtei Kriyas. You have to rip two Kriyas. Achas Alaksav, Achas Alagvil. If he's burning a Sefer Torah, he's destroying the Oisiyah, so the Sefer Torah, and he's destroying the cloth, the parchment. So the din is in your day, you have to rip two Kriyas, one on the right side, one on the left side. So you see from the Gemara that when someone burns the Sefer Torah, he destroys the Oisiyah, and he destroys the parchment, push it. So Rav Soloveitchik quoted a kasha from the Darshanim in Europe. It's an interesting kasha. In the first parak in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the Gemara tells about some of the Harugei Malchus, some of the Tanam who were killed by the Romans. So the Gemara says when they murdered Rav Chanina ben Tradyain, so his eyes were jumping. So the Talmidim asked him, what do you see? As if he was looking at something. So he says he was teaching Torah in public. He was using the Sefer Torah and giving a Shia. So they wrapped him up in the Sefer Torah, the Romans, and they tied him up and they burnt him alive with the Sefer Torah. So his eyes were jumping, so he says he sees Gvil in the Sraf and he sees the parchment of the Sefer Torah is being destroyed. But he says, Osius Parchas Bavir, the letters are not being destroyed. The letters are flying up in heaven. So according to that Gemara, that Osius Parchas Bavir, so why does the Gemara say you have to rip two Kriyas? The Gemara says, "Right, Sefer Torah Shenisraf. You have to rip two kriyas, one ala ksav, and one ala klap." This Gemara says only the klap gets burned; the ksav doesn't get burned. So Rav Soloveitchik said a whole drasha that he thinks it depends who is burning the Sefer Torah. If the Jews are burning the Sefer Torah, then they can make such a churban; they'll destroy the ksav and the klap. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the goyim are burning the Sefer Torah. The goyim cannot; the goyim can only do a superficial destruction. They can only destroy the cloth, they can't destroy the ksav. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, apparently. I thought perhaps Odia Shlomo, maybe you can say a little differently. Maybe the Gemara in the third parak in Maikot is talking about Aroi Sefer Torah Shenisraf is Torah Shebichsav. And of course they burn both. When you burn a Sefer Torah, the ksav gets destroyed and the cloth gets destroyed, so you have to burn both. But Chanina ben Tradyan was holding a Sefer Torah, but it was just saying over what it says in Chumash. He was Darish. It says he was Darish. He was darshaning, he was teaching Torah Shabbat Peh. So when he saw the Osiyas Parchas Bavir, it doesn't refer to the Osiyas of the Sefer Torah. The Osiyas of the Sefer Torah were burnt also. That's a tangible object. When you destroy a Sefer Torah, so the Ksav gets destroyed and the Klav gets destroyed. He meant the Osiyas of the Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Peh is not a tangible item. It belongs to the world of ideas. You can't destroy an idea. You can't burn an idea. You can burn all the books you want, but you can't burn an idea. So that's what he meant to say. Rav Chanina ben Tradyan said that the Torah Shabbat Peh doesn't lend itself to destruction. So maybe that's the biur in this idea also, that the Kedusha Rishayna of Eretz Yisrael, the way the Rav suggested, was with the Koyach of Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav is a tangible object that lends itself to destruction. So once the kibush was undone at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, so the whole kedusha was undone. Now, she came the kedusha shnia that was created after the Kabbalah Torah on the occasion of Nes Purim, that is with the koyach of Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Torah Shabbat Peh belongs to the world of ideas. It's not a tangible object. It's not something the dova mamashi. So that doesn't lend itself to destruction. So the mele, the kedusha shnia didn't lend itself to destruction. As I look through. Every so often I review different, read all the different drushes from Rav Soloveitchik, usually Echalam al Pesach, we cover the yard side. So as I read over many of the drushes of the Rabbi, I see this recurrent theme of his love song towards the Torah Shabbat Peh. And I feel that this was his way of fighting against, not with fire and brimstone, this was his way of having a hashpura on his balabatim to try to be mechazik the inyan of Torah Shabbat Peh and the significance of Torah Shabbat Peh.
Hashem. Did you all say that the Kedusha Shnia was based on the Beis Hamikdash extended?
He was interpreting the Rambam. It was based on the Beis Hamikdash, but this doesn't seem to fit in with what the Rambam said. This was a different suggestion.
Yeah.
Different suggestion.